Speaking of clarity and leadership, Simon Marks, our Washington correspondent, is on the line to talk us through. How many days is it now, Simon?
Well, it's 3 weeks and 1 day. So what is that? 22 days.
Holy moly.
But who's counting?
Indeed. Where are we? Tell me first about Anthony Fauci. He's had an interesting 24 hours.
Yes, Anthony Fauci's had a very, very interesting 24 hours, having to distance himself formally from some of the claims that were being made about his conduct by the Trump campaign. The Trump campaign keep trying to insist, not just rhetorically in discussions that they have at press briefings and things like that, but now in campaign literature, that Dr. Anthony Fauci was somehow backing President Trump's stance on COVID-19. Dr. Fauci has made it clear that he won't be associated with any kind of political campaigning whatsoever. He is, of course, the country's most highly respected public health official, a fixture here in Washington for nearly four decades. He has provided unleavened advice to successive presidents throughout that four-decade period. And as we all know, he's never quite come up against anyone like President Donald Trump, who not only has sidelined Dr. Fauci in recent weeks, but actively replaced him as sort of the White House medical doctor, if you like. There's now this gentleman, Dr. Scott Atlas, who far more reflects Donald Trump's thinking on COVID-19. There's no need to shut the economy down. There's absolutely no reason why the kids can't be in school. Football should definitely be played. Oh dear, lots of football players have tested positive for COVID-19, so that plan starts looking like it's getting derailed. But Dr. Scott Atlas was seen on the fringes of President Trump's rally at the White House, and that's what it was, a campaign rally this weekend against all the rules. Some members of the audience, ABC News have reported, were paid to be there, their travel expenses and accommodation costs here in Washington covered by the Trump campaign. Dr. Scott Atlas could be seen on the fringes of that event in the White House grounds, flagrantly breaching the rules and not wearing a face mask, which tells you exactly what kind of public health advice he's going to be dispensing into the president's ear.
And speaking of the president, better late than never, I suppose, but the social media platform Twitter has once again had to impose some sort of sanction on the president's own Twitter feed.
Yeah, they took him to task again yesterday for a tweet in which he blithely claimed that he is immune now from COVID-19. I mean, let's be clear, as the president begins to spend, he says, every single day now, between now and the election, on the road. He's heading to Florida today for a rally there where he's trying to shore up a situation that has Joe Biden currently 4.5 points in the lead in the Sunshine State, an absolutely critical swing state in this election. We still don't really know the true state of Donald Trump's health. I mean, we had some very curiously worded note from his physician a couple of days ago insisting that the president meets the CDC criteria for the safe discontinuation of isolation. Yeah. And it says that he is no longer considered a transmission risk to others, which is an interesting bit of wording, but they don't provide any medical data whatsoever to back that claim up. President Trump keeps going out there and saying, I'm immune, I'm over it, and I'm now completely immune. And yes, Twitter, of course, slapped a warning on that, because we have absolutely no idea if he's immune. Indeed, he can't possibly know if he's immune and for how long he might be immune to COVID-19. But look, to be fair to him, he realizes what kind of a task he's got ahead of him, and he is going to be barnstorming the country in a traditional way all the way now, he says, until November the 3rd, Election Day. I think it is notable that if you want to attend his rally in Florida today, you are required to sign a rider conceding that you won't sue the campaign or Donald Trump personally if you do contract COVID-19 at the rally. That seems to be the pattern going forwards. And I guess, you know, the overriding point 3 weeks out is this election is winnable for the Republicans. They can win this election if they start talking about issues on which they can make some headway. You could be taking Joe Biden and Kamala Harris to task on all sorts of issues: COVID-19. They say they have a national plan to deal with COVID-19. We have no real idea what it is. And indeed, when Joe Biden has been questioned about his plan to order a national face mask mandate, he's conceded that as president, he may not have the power to do that. So you could really be pressing them on the issue of COVID-19. You could really be pressing them on the issue of the Supreme Court. Do they really plan to enlarge the Supreme Court beyond nine justices in order to dilute any conservative tilt that it may have by the time Joe Biden becomes president? That's a material question for voters. Do you want the Supreme Court to continue being a nine-member body, or should it be 11, 13, 15, pack it with as many judges as you can until you can turn it back into a liberal-leaning institution? They won't answer that question. What exactly do they see as the future for law enforcement in the United States? We know they don't favor defunding the police, but what is their plan for law enforcement reform beyond convening a very expensive commission that's going to spend the next 2 years engaging in expensive cross-country travel and talk and then coming up with a bunch of recommendations that the vast majority of America's 18,000 law enforcement forces will not implement? There are substantive issues you could be going after the Democrats on. Instead, what did he spend last week talking about?
Go on.
This nonsense, completely false claim that Barack Obama and Joe Biden had attempted to mount a coup against him, first of all during his campaign in 2016 and then during his government in the early couple of years. Hillary Clinton's emails? Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, is spending this week poring over more documentation in a bid to find emails by Hillary Clinton that he says he's going to release before the November the 3rd election. Do we think there is a single voter out there that cares today about Hillary Clinton's emails who may read one of them and go, oh, right, well, that's it. I'm now voting for Donald Trump.
I'm voting for the guy whose inner circle has been largely jailed.
Yes, and the guy whom the New York Times revealed over the weekend in an extraordinary, I mean, absolutely Pulitzer-eligible
expose. This will have to be, I know where we're going with this, it'll have to be the last part of your bulletin, yeah. but we wouldn't want to miss it, Simon.
Is an inner circle that has enriched itself non-stop from the moment he became president, which we can get into another day, but these
indeed
extraordinary scenes of supplicants lining up behind the president's dinner table at Mar-a-Lago over the last 4 years to get him to do stuff for them because they donated money and bought memberships of his golf clubs.
Simon,
you could be having a serious conversation in this election campaign. We're not witnessing it.
It's an astonishing analysis because it suggests that the president's best chance would actually now to be reflect and report reality, whereas his success to date has been built upon a rejection of reality. Is it too late for him to change course? I do not know, but I do know we'll be hearing more from Simon Marks over the course of this week and that the time now is 12:47.